We got to keep that one spoiler free, or I'm hanging up because I have.
Yeah, same here. I was going to say if you guys are going to talk spoilers,
all right,
I'm going to cut out because I don't want to hear any spoilers for that.
Oh,
hey,
no.
Here's a spoiler. You will die alone.
Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all.
N-E-R-D up. N-E-R-D up.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd up.
Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with
Eric Billingsley,
Tim Coker,
and Brett Hartman.
That's right. We got the crossover sports podcast host, Brett Hartman, joining us once again. I don't think we could fully turn him into a nerd, but he's kind of enjoying it. This time around, we're going to talk about some shows that are out, movies that are out, some current ones. We'll talk about some that are coming up this summer, and I'm loving this year. 2017, movie-wise, is turning out to be a pretty cool year. Guys, did you guys finish watching Iron Fist?
No.
Yeah.
So Brett did not, and the two guys that really did. Now, the thing is, your yes, both you guys, didn't sound enthusiastic. Tim, what'd you think?
Well, I wanted to like it. I think it's really hard to come at it from what I would call like an objective place because I'm a Marvel zombie, so I got that baggage. B, I'm really, really happy with most of what Netflix and Marvel have done. Like, I keep being knocked out by how great their casting is. Even if the shows feel padded out sometimes, generally the scripts are really, really strong. Just all of it I'm such a fan of. And so if I had just seen Iron Fist as its own show, would I have liked it? Would I have felt like if none of the other Marvel Netflix shows had happened and Iron Fist came out, how would I have felt about it? And I still don't know if I would have been crazy about it, but it's a lot more disappointing after the highs of the previous three first seasons that they did. I just felt like casting was a real problem because I didn't find him to be very interesting.
Yeah.
My wife did. She thought he was, you know, attractive and whatnot. But as far as, oh, well, yeah, you know, what can you do? Guy has all of his hair.
Maybe that's what they're going with, I guess. So
I guess. But, you know, in terms of, you know, for me, reading Iron Fist comics as a kid, Iron Fist is a nice guy. You know, I remember him from the classic 80s. Power Man and Iron Fist books, and then again, kind of more recently, starting in about the mid-2000s. And, you know, he's a nice guy. He's not a dick. He's not
right.
Like a really entitled trust fund kid. And, like, he's a very hard character to get into, and I feel like they didn't really do a good job of helping me get across that bridge. You know what I mean? Like, get over his negative qualities. Like, Matt Murdock has negative qualities. Jessica Jones really has negative qualities. But I really rooted for both of those characters because the actors were able to invest in with so much humanity.
Right.
And the writers were really, really good at making their behavior feel like the complexity of a human person. And I felt like with Danny Rand, he's just kind of a douchebag, and he's really entitled. And
yes, yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. Like, we never find out how did he manage to, you know, go and become the greatest martial artist of Kunlun. You know,
yeah.
When he doesn't seem to have any wisdom, he doesn't seem to have any patience, he doesn't seem to have any kind of perspective. He just, you know, I guess he's because he's Danny. You know what I mean? Like, they don't do anything to back him up. Like, I believe Matt Murdock can win those street fights because of how they sell it on the show. You know,
right,
I believe
right.
that Jessica Jones is able to get through what she's doing because they sell it. And with this show, I feel like they just sort of were like, oh, you guys like these shows, right? Here's another show. You know, I don't feel like they did the legwork to make it special.
One of the things, you know, is funny. We kind of joked about this before. We talked about the obligatory hallway fight, you know,
yeah.
with these Netflix. And I got a question about that coming up also when we talk about the Defenders. But on this one is like...
There were not one, but there were two in Iron Fist.
I felt like there were more than that, you know?
You may be right.
Especially, I mean, with the I can't think of the guy's name that ran the hand dojo. And he attacked them coming down a corridor, or it was outside, but still, it was like within a thin lined area. So, I mean, God, it was just so full of them. And I'm like, oh, my God, you burned us out on it. I'll bring this up on the Defenders here in a second. My Isaac and I were watching the Defenders trailer, And Isaac goes, where's the corridor fight? Where's the corridor fight? And then sure enough, in the trailer, there's a corridor fight with all of them fighting. And I'm like, oh my God. And so I'm like, is this a brand now? So, I don't know. In Iron Fist, that's what kind of took me away from the movie was like, oh, here comes another one. Here comes, oh, similar, you know, so anybody, what else? Eric, you didn't have an enthusiastic yes. What'd you think?
No, not at all. I think I liked it even less than Tim. There was nothing unique or original about it. It felt like whoever put it together was just like, you know, it was a job, not anything they ever wanted to do. And it just wasn't creative at all. There was no zero creativity in it. The dialogue was relatively dumb. someone posted on Facebook. I can't remember who, because I wish I could give them credit. But they said, what's wrong with this picture? You've got a disabled attorney who has, you know, who is developed, you know, amazing, almost superhuman fight skills. Mm-hmm. You've got a feminist, somewhat Supergirl, who's a, you know, very, very flawed detective. And then you've got a, you know, a black man who's bulletproof and who's been through it all and seen it all. And then you've got this white entitled dude bro.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
He is so incongruous with the other three characters. It's not even funny. It's just like, did they not see this? There were when they, you know, started putting all this together. I don't know. I mean, I'm the guy who is coming from an almost blank slate as far as Marvel history goes. I haven't read any of these. I've got a bunch of Daredevil stuff on Comixology that I plan to catch up on. But right. I really haven't read any of these characters, so I don't know what they changed and what's original. But really, if the character of Danny Rand, if they had changed it to an ethnic character, I wouldn't have been too upset, honestly, because they do it the other way all the time, as we all know.
But I
got a question, man.
Okay.
All right. So this is for Tim and Eric, because you and I have kind of already discussed this. Could you guys tell that his martial arts were just like very, not necessarily phoned in, but you could tell that he was trying to learn a martial art? You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't look great.
That was
Did you guys
my
pick
next
that up?
Point was that the fight scenes were really the worst that I've seen in any of the Marvel Defenders characters. It's not just that he wasn't up to the task. Whoever's choreographing the fights was just lazy. There's too many cuts. I mean, the thing that I liked about the fights in the previous, three characters' stories is that even though they kept going back to that same well of the fight in the corridor way too many times, for the most part, they were creative. They let the shot run enough, because this is the biggest problem with American action films, is that they chop them to death because they don't want you to see that the main character doesn't know what they're doing. So they chop together a bunch of, you know, single movements and then substitute in a few shots of a stunt person who is actually doing something impressive, and they cobble it all together and it looks like crap. But they sell it. That's the whole intention. Mm-hmm. In these series, up until this one, they've managed to do, you know, hold those shots a little bit longer than what I'm used to seeing, so that you can actually see that the actor is doing something. Not so with Iron Fist.
And then this one came along and said no. Yeah, in fact, I was gonna bring that up, because that's one thing you'd said in the previous podcast, Brett, was that it looked like an actor doing martial arts.
Yeah, he's trying.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, he's trying.
That's beautifully put.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you guys this. I got another one, man. I'm going to be the question guy today, just because I, you know, just don't know all this stuff so well. Let me ask you this. Is there a certain part of the series where you were just like, you know what? I don't like this series. Like, this is what reminds you of it every time. Like, did you get to a certain point, or you just didn't like everything?
I gave it to the third episode. I was like, because, you know, sometimes they can start off a little slow. Sometimes they get off on the wrong foot. So I said, you know, I kept an open mind till we got to the third episode. And I was like, this is not getting any better. It's actually getting worse.
I like it, man. What about you, Tim?
Well, I felt like, you know, I'm a Hope Springs Eternal kind of guy for something that I want to like, you know. And it's interesting that as the show went on, I enjoyed it, but not because it was a good show. I enjoyed it because I was kind of fascinated by how not good it was, if that makes sense, you know? Like, the best way I can explain it is that, you know, I'm watching this show, and I'm not really loving it, and then suddenly I realize that the only character on the show that I'm really invested in is, oh God, now I can't remember his name. He's the son of David Wenham, the Norman?
Oh, the really
smart,
the brother.
Ward.
Virgil? Yeah.
I actually, he was the only character on the show I felt any affinity for or rooted for or anything. I don't know why, but I just kind of felt sorry for him, and which I think you're supposed to.
Yeah.
But that goes to show you what an Iron Fist-sized hole is in the middle of this show, because I just, I agree with Eric, after like 3 or 4 episodes, I was just kind of done with this, you know? I mean, he's like...
Wait, I can't cuss on this one, my man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's mine.
I was done with this crap. He just was very irritating, and he was so sure he was right about everything, even though he was constantly wrong about everything. So anyway, that was it. It was interesting as I found myself taking my pleasures where I could on the show. Like actually, I hated the David Wenham character until he got killed and came back, and then I loved him because he was so funny and crazy and weird.
Yeah.
And I thought, finally, something on this show that doesn't feel like it was just crapped out of kind of Marvel Studios central casting, you know? It was just really good, that part of it, you know? I didn't just say that was really good.
Wow.
But what I meant was that I found that part to be really, you know, going on with the Meacham family. I wish I had video editing chops so that I could make a GIF of just all of the shots of Joy Meacham quietly freaking out. Because there are all of these shots of Joy, kind of her eyes will pop out and she'll just sort of stare into the middle distance and look horrified. You know, it happens constantly when she's talking to her dad,
right,
or whatever. After a while, like maybe halfway through the show, I realized that it was like a trope on the show. And so then my wife and I start calling him out and like, you know, woo, it's almost like drink if Joy quietly pops out. So, you know, if you're paying attention to stuff like that, it means the show is not doing its job. And I have less than no interest in finding out what's next. Like, I could give a rat's ass what happened to Kunlun. Because, hey, guess what, Danny? You didn't care. You left your post.
Right,
for
yeah.
For no well-defined reason. You never find out during the course of the show what was it that convinced him that he needed to ditch out on the people who were counting on him.
Because he's absolutely irresponsible. He has no sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
He doesn't. And I mean, okay, some of the characters, they were born with their skills, their special powers or whatever. In the case of Luke Cage, he was experimented on, and that's where he got his power.
Bulletproof, right?
Daredevil doesn't really have a superpower, but he, you know, he developed. I guess he does. That's right. He had that. Anyway. But they, even though they may have been given their power early on, they've all done something to earn their power and their place in this Marvel universe. They all, you know, they all take their power very seriously. They're you know, and it's something that they've developed and that they have earned, whether they were born with it or not. Danny Rand hasn't earned one bit of the power that he has. And it's like, I'm like, who was the lame brain that thought that he would make a good Guardian?
Hey, hold on a second. I got a question. So I only got an episode and a half in. Did they ever reveal how he did get his power? Didn't he go somewhere for a long ass time and like learn jujitsu and
Yeah, that's what they told us.
But they never showed like a video package of that or anything saying that he like met some sensei and got his ass kicked since the time he was 6.
No, well, they do. They talk about how he went to Kunlun, you know, he was, you know.
Well, they talk about it,
but they never showed.
Oh yeah, well no, you see him go down to the cave of the Shu Lao, the Undying. Can you tell I'm reading a lot?
Okay, we'll see. Well, see, here's the deal. See, this is where you guys are getting spoilers to me. I'm only on episode 10. Because it's such a chore to get through.
It's a slog.
You got stuff in before it. Well, that's the reason I've never finished it, is because I've just got so many other shows that I'm just invested in. Well, I can't just take time out to watch this. You know what I'm saying?
The other Netflix shows. Uh-huh. No, I said, dang, I got to get to the next one. I got to watch the next one. I got, you know, this one here. It's like, I got something else I could do, you know, or watch, you know. There's so many others. It's like, well, heck, and we're going to talk about this, but here in a little bit. But there's been so many new Netflix shows that have taken me away from that I'm only on episode 10. So, but yeah, a lot of this, you didn't really ruin, you know, I'm not really that concerned with spoilers, but when you said Ward comes back, I'm like, what? I didn't know he came back, but now I do.
Sorry.
Well, you know, they've been showing the trailers for the Defenders series, and it looks awesome.
I've seen those.
I just get really hyped up whenever I watch it. Yeah. Until I see a shot of Danny Rand, and then it's just like two steps back.
I just ruined it for you.
I really hope he's not I hope that he's not in a large part of it. I really do.
Will be, man. He's one of the five main characters, right?
There's a reason why the show feels as crappy and half-assed as it does.
What's that?
And it's a sobering thought about, because the showrunner is Scott Buck. Now, I don't know if that name's familiar to any of you, but if any of you had 5 years of your life taken away by the last half of Dexter.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That was Scott Buck.
I knew that name.
So the same showrunner does this one?
Dexter. So,
Tim, did you say
he was the showrunner of Iron Fist, and now he's going to be showrunner, I believe, on Daredevil. So, So, my hopes have been, let's just say, a little bit tempered.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess we can't have everything. But well, let's talk about this. Let's just turn the topic a little bit here. The Defenders, the trailers have come out. There's two of them that I saw. The latest one is the coolest one with the. With all four of them doing the hallway fight, but
of course.
So, having seen that and knowing that, looks like Elektra's coming back as an enemy. I mean, what do you guys think? Eric, what do you think about the new Defenders trailer?
I've only seen one, so I maybe not have seen the most recent one. I'll have to go online here soon and watch it. But I knew that Elektra was coming back. There's no way that they built up the end of that, Daredevil season two to not follow through with it. So yeah, I'm just, it's not a question of if she's going to be back, when. So it's cool that she's coming back here in the Defenders. I think that might be good. I'm not 100% sold on her character, but I'm kind of on the fence. I could learn to like her, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Tim, what do you think?
I'm not the world's biggest Elektra fan. I mean, I was a fan of, I don't know, I think I might have talked about this in an earlier episode, but growing up in the 80s, right? 70s and 80s, I remember certainly the moment when ninjas came into mainstream comic books, and that was in X-Men and Daredevil, pretty much at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And it was amazing because I didn't know anything about these guys in black. I didn't have any access to ninja movies from the 60s and 70s or whatever. I don't know. But fact was, it was new to me and it was great. And at that time, ninjas were still kind of an exotic thing. They weren't as common as they became.
Can I stop there? I want to ask one question here. Yeah. Did the X-Men also fight the Hand, or was it just a different set of ninjas?
Okay. No. But I think Wolverine did. Wolverine went over to Japan and fought ninjas, and I haven't read that in a long time, so I can't remember if it was the Hand or if it was just ninjas. But, that was where ninjas came into the X-Men storyline. The Hand was really a Daredevil thing. So the Ninja Clan was amazing to me. Elektra was amazing because she was such a breakthrough, I mean, the term is a joke now, strong female character, but she really was. To have a woman like that in a superhero comic was unprecedented. So it was great, but only when Frank Miller was writing Elektra in that original run. And I have not really liked any Elektra stuff since then, because she dies at the end of that original run, spoiler.
Right.
And then they bring her back. And, I feel like the character was important at the time, and I just hasn't aged well. Because really what she is she's kind of a manic pixie dream girl of Homicide. And she just makes Matt act like a complete... I'm sorry, I keep swearing.
like it, dude.
Makes Matt act like a jackass. He's horrible to everybody. He becomes basically an alcoholic whenever she's around, except not with booze, but with, I don't know, enabling Elektra.
Yeah.
And so, the stories where she shows up don't tend to be a lot of fun. And with ninjas, I'm sorry, but if you're going to do ninjas, especially ninjas on TV in 2017, they've got to be amazing. Otherwise, you're just going to have it turn into kung fu fancy dancing like you get every week on air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you watch Daredevil season two, it was compelling at the beginning with the Punisher and his story, before that's gone on too long and he's gotten the dumb logo thing on his breastplate and whatever. But by the end of the show, when the Hand take over more and more, and there are more and more of these extended fights with ninjas, they're really over choreographed. They drive me nuts for the same reason that the Jedi fights in the Star Wars prequels do, where it doesn't look like fighting. It just looks like fancy dancing. And after the, bruising stuff from Daredevil season one, and Brett, I've got to tell you, don't let Iron Fist turn you off. I really, really want you to check out the first couple of episodes of Daredevil. And if those first couple of episodes of Daredevil don't grab you, fine. I will not.
And Daredevil was the first series that they got, right? Like, that was the first one they did?
That's right.
Okay, so this one, it definitely got special attention. They actually, so I'm a wrestling nerd, and the guy from Daredevil did, like, a run on WWE.
What?
Like, I'm pretty sure he had a WrestleMania match. Yeah, I'm dead serious. Look this up. I can't remember what his name is, but he, like, had, like, a span of, like, 6 weeks where he, like, beefed with the dude and then beat him at WrestleMania. Dead serious.
What?
Was that Stephen Amell? Because he's from Arrow, and I know he did a wrestling thing.
Okay, well, that's probably who I'm talking about, but pretty close, right?
Yeah. I mean, but that's cool. I mean, I remember when he did that and thinking, man, that is so cool that he's just out there, like,
like a little crossover like that. That's pretty cool. Hey, can I ask you guys a comics question?
Yeah.
I don't mean to cut you off. So you said that Elektra died and they brought her back. Okay, so that's a cool thing that's available to you. But is that common in comics?
Yes.
How many times has Superman died?
Well,
couple
it doesn't. I mean, villains and minor heroes. It's a fun thing. In comics, you can always count. It's kind of the joke, too, sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
They bring it back, like, shouldn't have. All right, well, the Defenders, you know, the way I look at it, I think what you're getting at there, Tim, ninjas, they better do it right or it's going to look like fancy dancing, right?
And well, it's just boring, and these shows are not boring.
Right.
And you can't beat 80s ninjas, either.
No.
I'm dead serious. Like, the original ninjas, you can't beat those.
Well, true, true.
You know what I'm saying? Because they just were so real to us.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the thing with this one. Okay, so we see that the Hand and Elektra are going to be enemies, but where's Kingpin in all this?
Yeah,
that's
that
what I'm wanting to know.
Yeah, he is MIA.
He's not in it, actually, I think. I think D'Onofrio said that he's not involved.
Oh.
So. Yeah, I know, right? I love this character.
That's who has.
But I'll tell you who I am looking forward to seeing again is Stick. I love Stick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Scott Glenn's great.
Yeah.
Yep.
He'll be training him up again. So, all right, now here's we're going to shift the subject once again. I'm going to talk about a movie that I saw, and I'm going to spoil the crap out of it just for Tim and Eric. No, I better not because they'll hang up.
Yeah, they literally threatened us before the thing.
So, no spoilers or something about.
Eric told me he was going to choke me, dude.
So let's see. Am I the only one that saw Guardians?
Yeah. So.
Wow. Okay.
I was trying to go see it last night with my son and my wife, but my wife's like, "Nah, not gonna happen." I'm like, "God dang it!"
Why not? Why not you guys, Tim? Why not you?
People have lives.
I have a busted leg.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he doesn't get out much.
Yeah, that's true. You're doing James. You're cosplaying as James Stewart in Rear Window.
That movie has taken on a whole new different shade to me since then.
Oh, I'm thinking.
Have you watched it since the accident?
No, I haven't actually. But I've been thinking a lot about the film and a lot of it really I connect with it a lot more than I. And I mean, I, not to minimize anyone's disabilities, but I tell you what, I have a new perspective on people who permanently can't. Have a bad leg or can't walk, and I mean this is just temporary for me for 6 months or whatever, and I mean it's going to be a problematic for the rest of my life probably, but not I can still walk, and that's I'm thankful for, and I think about when I was not able to, how hard it was just to do the most basic things, and that you have to rely upon other people to help you with and to do. But anyway, I didn't want to get into that, but it's
What's the one with Kathy Bates where she kidnaps
him? Misery.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I thought you were talking about. I think that's essentially
what my ankle would look like.
Let's get off of that, dude.
Well, I was thinking, you guys brought up the Jimmy Stewart version. What's the matter with the Shia LaBeouf version? Nobody? Okay. All right. Sorry, so I'm going to talk about...
Do you guys like him in Transformers?
I don't like him in anything. I take that back. I just saw a movie, and I highly recommend it. I mean, I don't know if you'll like it or not. I loved it. It's called American Honey, and he's in it. I didn't know he was in it, and he showed up, and it's like, oh, God. And I actually liked his character. I thought he was right. Yeah. He was cast correctly. It's the only thing I've seen him in that I like that I could stand him in.
Okay.
Thanks for the recommendation.
Unfortunately, it's not science fiction. It's not nerdy, but it's
that.
That's why Brett might watch it, and we won't.
Exactly. Tim, what about you? Did you like Shia LaBeouf in Transformers, man?
You know, I don't hate Shia LaBeouf. I mean, I think he's definitely done some questionable stuff. Not having grown up under the glare of cameras, you know, I don't feel like I can judge really. But I, as an actor, I don't generally have a problem with him. He was all right in the Transformers movie. That wasn't crazy about the movies themselves, but I'm not really a Transformers guy, and I'm not really a Michael Bay guy, so it was not really in my wheelhouse. But I had no problem.
Well, I'm bringing up Guardians of the Galaxy. I just got to do it, guys. But I won't spoil it, and I think that's going to be actually the fun of it is me not being able to spoil it because there is so many hidden gems in this movie. Okay, it's not as good as the first one. Okay, sequels never are, but it's still real. It's still one of the top movies. No, this is one of the top Marvel movies made right there is Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So they got 1 and 2. They're all in the top. I'd say easily the top 5 for me. Two of them from there.
Two of your top 5 is Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Right.
Of your top 5 of all time.
Yeah.
You're f***ing
not, dude. Yep. Guardians is number 1. And then
I wouldn't go that far, but I love the movie.
I loved it.
I wouldn't put it in my top 5.
Wait. Gil, are you saying all-time movies, period, or all-time Marvel movies?
Marvel movies.
Oh, okay. Did everybody else think he was talking about of all-time of his movies?
No.
Nobody else thought that.
I thought that.
Yeah, that's why I was freaking out.
All right, well, okay, so here we go. First of all, I'm going to warn you. It was a really good movie. Beautiful. No, of course not. It's Marvel. Beautiful scenery, just like we expected.
Did you watch it in 3D? Or
yes, I did. 3D. I saw it in 3D. I'm going to go back and see it again in 2D, but it was 3D again, just like the last one. It was a whole different world, different view. Not as much so as it was in the first one, but still enough to keep you in there in the movie and watching. But let's see here. The guys are still, you know, pretty much themselves. However, I'll warn you, Drax, I loved his not able to understand metaphors. They took that away from him in this movie.
What? What's his thing?
Yeah, he's basically all he does is crack jokes.
Is that Bautista?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I will tell you this: him delivering these jokes and him cracking the joke—it's great.
Like it's good timing.
Yeah, it's great stuff. It works. But the character they developed in the first one was not the same Drax that they developed in the second movie. So
I'm a fan of this guy. I'm not necessarily a fan of him as a wrestler. So this is kind of cool to see him do something outside where he can be ironic and he can be funny and he can just be a big, strong guy. You know what I'm saying?
And he does.
He was really good in the first one. I liked it. I was very surprised how good he was.
Now, I will say, though, that he's the one that stole this movie. Drax stole the movie.
So even though Gil gave him a bad rating, he said
I didn't give him a bad rating. I just said they took away. I thought they took away what he was. But it's still great. He steals the movie. Baby Groot, yeah, sure, because he's cute, but not as much as I think Drax, to me, was the best part of the movie.
So you're saying Drax was cute?
No.
Did you guys all pick that up? Drax is cute?
He just put in words.
That's what we're going with.
I'm surprised, though, that I think Groot was almost overused, over cute. So, you know.
Hey, would you see this in IMAX?
I'd like to see it in IMAX.
You want to go to Evansville?
They got an IMAX down there?
Sure they do.
Heck yeah.
We'll call.
All right. We got to find out. Heck yeah. I'd love to see that in IMAX. It would be huge. You know, but let's see. What else going on with it? I don't want to give away spoilers, so I won't tell you. All the cameos that are in this thing are just phenomenal. Some of them we knew about coming in. Like, everybody saw the thing that Sly Stallone's going to be in the movie. So he's in there. It's pretty cool. All right, I'll give you one of the cameos. David Hasselhoff is in this, so enjoy that.
He actually appears in it?
Yes. Yes, he does.
Wow. All right.
And David Hasselhoff.
Hasselhoff's in it.
Yes.
My man, is he eating a pizza?
No. But I don't know. And of course, there's the obligatory Stan Lee.
Of course.
That this one, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit in with, it doesn't push the storyline or anything. But it just makes sense as to what it is. When you see it, you'll understand. And I'm not going to give it away. But it's a blast. It's still a great movie, even though there's some little things I could pick on here and there. And I love the fact that they didn't make a Friends episode out of how this movie or whether Rachel and Ross are ever going to get together, because Gamora and Star-Lord, you know, they kind of have their...
That's what I'm kind of afraid of.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. Don't have to worry about it. It's there, but they don't push it, and then it doesn't have anything to do with the when they come to the end of the movie. So it's like, oh yeah, I forgot you guys were doing that at the beginning, weren't you? And something. So really, it's not.
Hey, thanks for the spoiler, man.
Well, that's not a spoiler.
Trying to move on.
That was a relief, so you can get through the movie,
dude,
so you don't have
Tim
to sit there and expect it.
Doesn't want
to
talk about Guardians of the Galaxy 2, man. He wants to see it for himself. You got to check back with him in a week.
Oh, it'll be too late. Well, all right. Well, you know what? That's all I can give away without spoilers.
I'm sure we'll talk about it again once we've seen
Oh yeah,
it.
And make sure you stick around for all 5 credit scenes.
So the movie's an hour and 10 minutes long, but with the credit scenes, they cover the whole 2 hours span.
Sounds like it.
And they're just little bitty fun ones. There's nothing that's talking about the next movie in Marvel Universe, so they're just little fun things. So it's not you're not going to get any hints about any future movies from it. They're just little fun ones. So yeah, but stick around for all 5 of them. When I heard there were 5, I was like, what? 2? Give me 2, and I'll be happy.
Well, as a incident related to that, the director Jamie Gunn, his previous film was called Slither, which is a really kind of funny and also bloody and gross horror film. Actually, it's not that bloody, but it's really worth seeing. So, if you like his sense of humor in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, it's coming out on Blu-ray fairly soon, I think, from Scream Factory. Slithers, check it out. I really love Slither. That movie.
Did you say his name is Jamie Gunn?
Yeah, or James Gunn.
Do you think that he messes with Billy and Bart Gunn?
Probably not yet.
They're wrestlers. I'm just wondering.
Well, that's why maybe that's how he got Bautista into the.
They're the smoking guns
into
the
movie.
Tag team.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
So do you think that
that's
he messes
a pretty
with
epic
Billy
name.
And Bart Gunn of the smoking guns?
That's an epic name.
Yeah, smoking
yeah, it's a wrestling
gun.
Name, man. Of course.
That's what I loved about wrestling. All the and then you get the Von Erichs, but we won't go there anyway.
Oh, that's a crazy story. You should. Hey, let me ask you guys this. Are you guys watching anything right now on Netflix that's like not nerd culture shit? Anybody?
No.
That would have to think about. I watch a lot of the Andy Griffith Show.
On Netflix?
Yeah, awesome.
Or just on anything that's just not like nerd out.
Dude, you forget. I grew up in Southern Illinois. I have seen every single episode of Mayberry RFD and the Andy Griffith Show. Multiple times.
Eric, you have been, laid up, if you will. You've been catching up on a whole bunch of movies that I wouldn't consider completely nerdy, more on the art or,
Yeah, yeah. I've been using my time off to at least get caught up on a lot of movies that I've been wanting to get around to seeing. So, and I've been seeing a lot of Hammer horror films, which I'm really developing an appreciation for. But yeah, a lot of art films too. I'm kind of weird that way.
The artsy stuff, man.
Gotta love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we talked about the. Let's move on to the next topic here. I got this that I was going to talk about it right after the Defenders anyway, and so let's do it. Wonder Woman. The final trailer came out. It's really looking like. Finally, DC's going to do it right. Have you guys seen this? What do you think? We'll start. Let's go with Tim first.
I got to say, it looks promising. I mean, I got to remember who's in charge here, But
right.
And I want it to be good. I really want it to be good. And I did something that I maybe in a future show I want to get into it a little more, but. I've been listening to another podcast called The People Be Batman Be Superman. And it's these guys actually, I don't know if it's like 20 or 30 episodes, and they basically break it down almost scene by scene, or maybe they'll do 2 or 3 scenes at a time, and they'll usually have a guest on or something. And the two of them do not like the movie, but they try to get on people who have differing points of view, positive and negative, on the movie. And it's pretty interesting as a film buff to listen to. They've been talking about the extended edition, that's what they were referring to when they're, that's kind of their.
That special.
As it were, right?
The special and R-rated one?
Yeah, and after listening to a few episodes of that, I'm like, all right, I have to see it. And I have to agree with them. It's better than the theatrical cut, except that it's longer, which means you have to spend more time with the movie. Watching it again, it's just just really clear to me again that she was the part of the movie that I had the easiest time enjoying and feeling good about. So I am definitely interested in seeing her show. And I can't believe that they're actually going, you know, full First Avenger, as it were, with her and doing the whole thing in World War One. But yeah, I don't know. I think it has potential to be really good. And I hope they don't mess it up.
Yeah,
they have a bad track record for not messing it up. So,
Well, I saw the trailer and I'm like, wow. Well, first thing Isaac said to me, he goes, "Hey, there's color." And I was like, okay, maybe they are, but there's still some darker scenes. You know, maybe they're learning. And then that aspect, plus it looks like they're actually having fun. They're, is it Pine? Christopher Pine?
It's Pine.
Yeah. He is actually making it seem like a fun movie. He's got some good lines in there and some good reactions. So I'm thinking this is going to be kind of nice. Because if they can keep on with that, then maybe it will be a good movie. Eric, what do you think?
I don't know if I've seen the most recent trailer, but I saw one that was pretty extensive a couple months ago. And it looks good. I'm interested. I'll probably go see it at the theater. But the DC Warner Brothers track record right now is just so low that I it's hard for me to get excited about. I mean, the best thing that I've seen from DC recently was the Suicide Squad, which is not what I would call a quote unquote good movie, but I enjoyed it, which is something I can say that I can't say about anything else since the first two Batman movies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? That's a really good way to look at that movie, Suicide Squad. I enjoyed it, but I also wouldn't say that I liked it or thought it was a great movie. You know what I mean? I went and saw it with my son. He had a good time. I thought it was, you know, good visual effects, good little storyline. I didn't necessarily think it was my favorite movie ever, but it was a good movie.
Yeah, yeah,
it was enjoyable.
Yeah, I had fun with it. I could point out all the flaws.
Yeah,
you know, but it made fun time in the theater.
Guys know the name of the leading lady from Wonder Woman? You know her name?
Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot. Okay, that's it.
Good luck, boys. but no, I like her as an actress. I first saw her in one of the Fast and the Furiouses. I don't know when she came on.
Oh, really? Okay.
5, 6, 12. Right. I'm not sure. And she did a really good job at it. And plus, you know, she's not hard on the eyes by any means. You know what I mean? So that's a nice touch. Yeah, I'm kind of a fan of hers. I think she'll probably do pretty well in this.
Well, she did great in the Batman v Superman. Like Tim said, it's like the best part of the movie he liked.
Yes,
sir. I would have to agree. That was, to me, she held it together. Or at least held it together. No, that's a bad choice. She made it worth watching. There we go.
Yeah. Whenever she was on screen, things were all right.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, throwing in some in a Greek tragedy, you know, some comedic relief. She was like the, okay, there's actually a story somewhere that can be told.
Old Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
Go.
So... coming out soon. That's going to be good. I'm trying to think. It's going to be a great summer of great movies. We got Spider-Man Homecoming.
Boom.
We've got Thor Ragnarok. That's coming up in November.
Freaking Thor.
Yeah.
And the one
Blade Runner 2049.
That's it. Blade Runner 2049's coming out.
I am so geeked out about this, even though I know I'm going to wind up getting crushed and disappointed. But
no. Lead for Blade Runner.
We'll Ryan see. Gosling.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling's lead. Harrison Ford.
Okay.
We'll see. Harrison Ford was the lead in their first movie. So we'll see. Now, that's the thing. If he now it solved that riddle of whether or not he was a replicant because he got old.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, that's not going to be a good spot. All right, Eric, my bad. I didn't mean to cut you off. Why are you so hyped about Blade Runner, man?
It's just I've seen that movie God knows how many countless times. All the different versions of it. I dearly love that movie. I would safely say it is my favorite movie of all time.
Nice.
Well, Ridley Scott has a handle in this, or, you know, has his hand in this one too. So, you know, maybe that'll be, and Harrison Ford's coming back. Maybe won't be let down, Eric. Maybe expect something good.
Well, you know, I mean, there are precedents with Ridley Scott. Hits or solid films that have sequels that specifically Aliens. Alien and Alien. Actually, I think in some ways Aliens is a better film than Alien. It's not as artsy as Alien, but it's definitely a more exciting time because it's an action film, whereas Alien is a sci-fi horror film. I could see if the director and the writers are have a vision, actually, they've got something beyond, oh, we need to make a sequel. But they've got an actual story that ties in with the Blade Runner universe, what defines humanity, and especially in a time when everyone seems to have lost theirs. There's a lot of angles that they could play. There's a lot of stories that I think could be told in the Blade Runner universe. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that gets me excited, is there's a potential for a great many good stories to come out of that. But Ridley Scott's vision that the atmosphere of Blade Runner is almost half of the film. I mean, it's so detailed, and the world is living, breathing. It feels like a real place.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're going to be able to pull that off again, because he about drove all of his collaborators nuts with his obsessive, his OCD, and just wanting everything to be perfect. But hey, it paid off. I mean, it didn't at the box office. It actually, when it came out, it was a bomb, which blows my mind.
Right.
But over the years, it's become, a legend on home video.
Yeah, being a Philip K.
Did you guys see it when it was new?
Yeah, when being a Philip K. Dick fan, I was one of the first in line when it came out in the theaters.
Yeah, I saw it. I was very young, I think 12 years old or something, and it just blew my mind.
I went to see it at the Lincoln Theater in Robinson.
Really?
And I can't believe I was able to get my parents to take me and my brothers to see an R-rated movie. But I think because it had Han Solo and Indiana Jones in it, they're
right.
Like, okay, maybe.
Right.
But yeah, my mom got up and walked out, like, during the scene where Joanna Cassidy's getting shot in the back and going through all the plate glass windows.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. Anyway, we didn't follow her. We watched the rest of the movie. Sorry, Mom.
But at the time, I had read, I'm trying to remember, I know it was Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? I know that. I read that story. A couple other stories I'd read during high school. I had an English teacher that said, hey, you need to check these out, knowing that I was a sci-fi fan. And I read the P.K. Dick, and I'm like, oh, let's see what kind of a movie they turn into his books, because I don't see how they could do it. And I saw that they didn't really do it, but they tried. Yeah, I mean, it turned out to be a really great movie in and of its own. So now the sequel, I'm looking forward to it. In fact, Eric, when you posted the trailer for it, I watched it immediately, and I'm like, I think I can get into it. Let's just hope they keep it together.
Yeah. I think that I know a lot of people really like Ryan Gosling. I don't dislike Ryan Gosling, but his expression doesn't seem to change much. Maybe it's just me, but
he kind of has a dreamy expression.
I have no opinion of him either way. I don't really pay attention much to any of his movies that I know of.
Ryan Gosling, he did a detective movie with the guy from Brilliant Minds or whatever. What's that guy? Russell Crowe?
Russell Crowe.
He did a detective movie with Russell Crowe where it's kind of a jokey movie. Like, what do you say, campy?
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
It's actually a pretty good movie, and he does a really good job in it. I'll look it up real quick, man.
Huh.
Yeah, I'll drop that on the old pod.
It just doesn't ring a bell.
So, yeah, I don't know.
The Big Short, he was really good in The Big Short, but that's not it. it's The Nice Guys. You guys should actually check that shit out.
Well, I've heard of that.
It's not bad, man. I was pleasantly surprised with that. My wife made me watch it, and I actually enjoyed it and laughed.
The Nice Guys.
For what it's worth.
There's the recommendation, The Nice Guys. So you got one? You gave one. That's sharing.
Oh, bro, I'm a big sharer. I am a sharer. Ask any of my ex-girlfriends.
All right, Tim, what do you got that you want to that you're excited to talk about other than what we have already?
Gee, I wasn't expecting the question. I'm less excited about the Blade Runner movie than everybody else, just because I saw Prometheus and I didn't like it, and so now I don't think it's going to be good. But maybe it'll be good
this year. I mean, we've got another Star Wars movie coming out. Is that right? That's this year, yeah. And then
there's going to be like three per year, aren't there? Like that. Is there one next month? No, anyway.
It's like you're going to, like, every month you got this to subscribe to the Star Wars channel. And don't be surprised. That's going to be happening, guys. And then finally, we'll be able to watch that long lost Christmas Star Wars special.
So wait, they're coming out with a Star Wars app?
No.
Oh, you're making this. You're predicting this.
Yeah, I'm predicting it. Yes.
I am not current on the podcast, boys. I'm sorry for slowing you guys down. Please proceed, Eric.
On television, they just started American Gods, which I don't have.
Oh yeah,
I don't have Stars right now, but I will. I will seek it out using other means somewhere somehow. I'm gonna wait till they get a few episodes out, because I think I'd like to binge on that. I was hoping to reread the book, because I haven't read the book in a long time. before I watched the series, but I'm way too behind in my reading, so that's not going to happen. So that's I'm excited to see. I'm curious at least.
Yeah.
And then there's the return after 25 years to television of Twin Peaks on Showtime, which I am super, super psyched about because there's no compromise. This is David Lynch's. He wrote all the episodes. He directed all the episodes. He didn't even do that in the original.
Oh, that's right.
This whole thing is his baby. So my hopes are pretty high for it because, I mean, it's all from his mind. And I think, Mark Frost also co-wrote it with him. And Mark Frost does a good job of keeping David Lynch on a narrative path because David Lynch's imagination often takes him away, far away from that narrative path. So I think it's a good partnership, and I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with it.
Mark Frost involved this time?
Yeah. They co-wrote it. They both wrote the scripts.
Oh, cool.
Oh, great.
Is he going to be acting in it too? You know, bringing back that character? Hey, Coop! Is he going to bring him back?
Gordon Cole is just...
Yeah, that's him.
Everyone, every peaker loves Gordon Cole. I'm almost sure he'll be back.
Twin Peaker, yeah. Yes.
Oh, so you guys are talking about Twin Peaks. I checked out for a second. I'm actually excited to see that because...
That's okay. We tend to jump around
a lot. It's good, man. Again, I'm actually excited to see that because I heard of it as I've, gotten older, in my 20s, something like that. I've never really checked it out because it came out when I was like 4.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I didn't see it.
How's that make you feel, guys?
The remake.
How old do you feel now?
Sorry, boys. Didn't mean to bring the cat out of the bag there.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Well, the original series, you should see the original series, although it probably won't have the impact on you that it did on us, or at least on me, because so many shows have been influenced by Twin Peaks now that you see in Twin Peaks all over TV now. And it's all, but people don't necessarily realize where it came from.
Right.
I mean, television up till Twin Peaks was very formulaic. I mean, really, you had your doctor shows, you had your police shows, your lawyer shows. It was just, and there was very little continuity between episodes, and there's certainly no weirdness,
right? Yeah,
like Twin Peaks has in it, but you see that kind of stuff all the time now. But it's all from Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I mean, a huge influence on a lot of programs. Some of them, you could watch it, and you're like, that's a different way to look at that. Oh, David Lynch, he's in this world, and it's a great world we live in when David Lynch is in it. Now, I was going to ask one more thing about coming out. Or has been released, actually. Mystery Science Theater 3000. They released the Return, and those all started out from Joel Robinson's Kickstarter a couple years ago. Have any of you guys watched any episodes yet?
I've watched the first one, and I want to get back and watch the rest of them. I'm a huge, huge fan of mm-hmm. Mystery Science Theater 3000. When it was on the air, I'd watch it every time it was on, and I liked it. I need to see more episodes. I need to let it grow on me and see where I go with it. I mean, it's not grabbing me the way that Joel did in those classic episodes. But Mike, I didn't like Mike at first, Mike Nelson,
right.
when he took over. But he kind of grew on me. His episodes were never to the degree of humor that Hodgins was. But they were good, and he grew on me. So
right.
I'm going to give this a chance. Well, I love the fact that Patton Oswalt's in it, though.
Yeah, he does have some fun. TV's, what was he, son of TV's Frank, or TV's son of TV's Frank, something like that. But yeah, he does add a little bit. I'll tell you what, though, I'm surprised. Whenever I saw that Joel only had minor parts in the series, it's like he's just got little bitty roles here and there. I'm like, I'd like to see him host it again. But Jonah, I can't think of his last name, but Jonah Heston.
You got Jonah right, but I can't remember his last name.
Yeah, in the series, he's Jonah Heston. But he actually grew on me. I'm on like the sixth episode right now. It took a while, but there was so much going on. I mean, there were nights where it was just burst out loud laughing. Everybody in the house asleep. I'm the only one up watching it because nobody else wanted to watch it. And I'm just out loud laughing, waking everybody up. And then after a while, I realized, a lot of that is him. And it's like, I'm laughing at him. He's okay. And I mean, here's the one thing with Mystery Science Theater, when they had it on Comedy Central, when they'd show it on Saturdays, that was my nap. I would get through about the first few minutes of Mystery Science Theater, and I'd sleep because the skits and stuff kind of got boring for me. you know, the invention exchanges and stuff like that. Well, now I'm laughing at those just as much. So it's,
oh, I think that the bits in the classic MST3K were some of the funniest parts.
I never really got into them on the TV when it was on TV, and not Netflix. But now this one, it's like there's some hilarious stuff they're doing, and it's keeping me. And like I said, I mean, there was one episode I wish I could remember. I think it might have been the second one, maybe the third, but there was one episode that just had me rolling from start to end, and I just like I was sore from laughing so hard at this movie, at this episode. So,
all right, well, I definitely have to pick back up with it. Then I've been intending to. I just been going on movie binges.
Yeah.
I did want to recommend that you guys see Get Out. Are you guys familiar?
I've seen
with it?
That one. Yeah.
What did you think?
Oh, wow. It was a great.
Yeah, I can't really talk about it much without spoiling it, but it's a very different type of horror film.
Yep.
than I've seen before, and it's actually very cleverly written, and a lot of stuff, like I'll just say to you, Gil, the running guy,
yeah,
and the whole story about Jesse Owens,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
it didn't hit me till the film was almost over how that tied in together. It's like, oh wow,
right,
oh,
right, yeah, yeah, little there's so many little things through that movie that made the whole thing. At one point you're like, oh yeah, oh cool, that's cool. I just now got that, or you know, like you, just this instance here. Yeah, although
I thought it was just a gag, right? I mean, because it was really pretty. One of the freakiest parts in the film when that guy's like running at it like full speed. It's like, what the hell,
right?
And I thought it was just, you know, something because it like a shock or a scare. But no, it actually ties in with the rest of the script. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm surprised that comedian Jordan Peele can write these things. You know, I thought I was
that's who he is.
Yeah, I was expecting comedy when I went to see this, mixed in with it. I'm sure there's a little bit because you can't have a horror movie without it, otherwise you have a heart attack.
When he's on the phone with his friend.
Yeah,
those,
exactly.
Those are funny. Yeah,
that, and that's it. Yeah, so you have to have those. But I thought it'd be more than that. Because of who he was, but man, when I walked out of them, like I just saw a great movie, you know. It was like that was cool. Isaac, he loved it too. We talked a little bit about it on a previous podcast, but definitely
the guy that played that the lead role.
Yes.
I've seen him in other things. I can't remember now.
I think he was in an episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah, he was also on the Black Mirror. It's like a
That's what I'm thinking of. Black Mirror.
Yeah. He was on the one that was like about basically Facebook. It was a takeoff, a parody on Facebook and and social media. But yeah, he was really good in that too. So as soon as I saw him in this, I was like, oh yeah, I know that guy.
Yep. So yeah, that's definitely worth seeing. So it's a different type of horror movie. Although I thought the without spoiling. The explanation for what they were doing got a little like lazy.
That part is not one of the strongest, pieces of the script. But after everything else that had come before, I was like, okay, I'm going to give you a pass on that.
Really? To me, it's just like, okay, fine. Yeah, I guess I did give him a pass because I do like the rest of the movie. So,
yeah.
Tim, did you ever see it?
I didn't, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, check
Tim,
it out.
Don't fall asleep over there, buddy.
Aw, come on. I didn't have anything to add.
Brett, did you see Get Out?
No, I didn't. Oh, it's another one that was in the white man.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
I look forward to seeing this movie. I just haven't. You know what I mean?
Right.
All right, I got a couple of questions for the group.
All right.
I'm going to contribute to this podcast.
Oh, okay.
My thing is like when we have these conversations or when I talk to my buddies about TV shows, when I get recommendations, like I'm pretty easily influenced. You know, my one friend, he's like my go-to. His name's Corey. No matter what he recommends to me, for some reason, it's always good. I'll resist it for a while, but it'll be like good, like Game of Thrones or a couple other sports things. But are you guys influenced like by your buddies like that, or do you kind of just go your own way?
Always.
Yeah.
You guys got like a go-to guy that he never disappoints. Like, is Gil that guy?
No, I like too many things.
No, but we all know each other from college, so I think that we have a good kind of feel for each other's taste. And so if I see something, if I think that it's up Tim's alley, well, we've got two Tims.
Yeah.
I'll mention to him too that, you know, that he should see that. And Tim has been responsible for introducing me to, you know, through college and stuff to a lot of films that I may not have seen otherwise.
And comic books.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as too many Tims.
Oh, but one thing I wanted to say before we end, it's not quote unquote nerdy exactly, but I finally started watching Deadwood after tons of people have recommended it to me. And
oh my God.
It is really, truly something to behold. I mean, I'm about halfway, a little past halfway through the second season, and Milch's dialogue, I mean, it's obvious that he's mimicking Shakespeare. I don't know that he's actually writing it in meter, but I mean, if you've seen any Shakespeare at all, you'll listen to his dialogue and it's like, yeah, that's exactly who he's trying to mimic. But it's such a good show, and the characters are so rich.
But he pulls it off.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, he pulls it off.
I'll tell you something. Deadwood, for me, there's all other TV and there's Deadwood, as far as I'm concerned. Like about halfway through Deadwood, I had this feeling that for the first time I was watching a show that was made by adults. Like, it is so far above, in my opinion, like what most other TV achieves, like artistically. Like, he swung for the fences and knocked the fence down. I mean, for me, creatively, I feel like I'm so gay for that show. Like, I just love it. It's so like the thing that's great about it is that the fidelity to the characters is absolute, and all of the characters are so well-rounded. And yet it's not really a character based. Well, it's hard to explain what it is because there's nothing else like it, but there will be scenes where two characters have a whole conversation and a really well-written conversation.
Yeah.
And you realize, if you've been paying attention, you realize that each one meant absolutely the opposite, or wanted absolutely the opposite of what they spent the entire scene saying. And if you miss that about it, you'll probably still enjoy the show. But that happened to me so many times on that show, like subtleties of meaning and things that people do that really feel human. I don't know, man. I could go on about Deadwood.
Now, I have one question that I have never understood about Deadwood. Is the characters refer to Swearingen as a limey and saying, you know, that he's not an American, but he has no British accent at all. I mean, and the actor is a Brit. I mean, Ian McShane is British, right?
Yeah.
So why, I don't understand why they refer to him as being, British when he has no accent at all. And certainly he could do one. But then again, you've got the character, the partner of the hardware store, who is from Vienna. And obviously he has no German accent whatsoever. So I'm not sure. It just always kind of threw me off. It's like, why are they calling him Limey? He doesn't sound like a Limey.
it could just be a nickname. There was a dude, were in the town where I grew up, whose nickname was Jew.
Dude?
He wasn't Jewish. His name was Joe, but everybody called him Jew. Jew von Elf. And at least I think so. I don't know. Boy, I realize people that are listening to this are actually from around there. I hope I didn't get that wrong. But
nobody from around here listens.
I haven't been home for a while. But, you know, it's sometimes people just get random nicknames. Because, yeah, Swearingen is from the U.S. And I don't know. Sometimes people get weird nicknames, I guess. But it is strange, isn't it, that they call him that?
Yeah, because especially knowing that McShane is British, I was like, I'm a little confused. Yeah. But McShane, he's so good in that role, man.
Oh my God!
But wait.
Powers Booth is perfect. I mean, they set them up because without Powers Booth, you may not be as sympathetic to Al as you are when you compare him to Powers Booth's character, who's completely unscrutinous.
Yeah, so I tell her.
Yeah,
but this is a Western.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Unlike any Western you've ever seen.
I got two.
There are Westerns and there are Westerns. This is a movie. Or this is a show that attempts to say something really, really, several things that are really, really profound about the American character and about why things happen the way they do and how long things have been happening that way. And also about how people, to happen, America had to be about people with extremely diverse agendas learning how to work together to make a common interest. And it happens to take place in the Old West because that's a really good place to explore issues like that, but it's not a Western. There's no like heroic mythology to it. It's all about people making really, really hard choices, and it's about degrees of evil.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So it's like The Walking Dead, but without zombies.
Yeah, right, right. And without episodes of everybody walking around in the woods going, little girl, where are you? Little girl. And then back at the farm, how can we bring a baby into this world?
They're actually, yeah, okay.
Little girl. Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, if Milch never did anything else in his life, he's a genius in my book for doing this series. It's just really ambitious and just every episode blows me away. Well, and it gets better even with every episode. I mean, I started off, I tell people when I recommend them to watch it, even though I haven't finished it completely yet, to give it at least a few episodes, because it doesn't jump out and grab you the way that some shows do. But after you watch it a good 3, 4, 5 episodes, you start to get a good handle on who these characters are. And once you know something about who the characters are, then the things that they say and do make a lot more sense. And like what Tim was talking about, there's so much going on below the surface. There's so much subtext to what's going on. People never say exactly what they're thinking, and everyone's trying to con someone else. Everyone is trying to manipulate someone else. And it's a really interesting show.
All right, you guys have recommended one for me, but you know what? It's time to end the podcast. I've got to go home, and it's late, and it's late. That's all there is to it.
I get it. I got one thing. Can we just do it real quick, though? Just
okay.
Go around the room, take a turn. Just because Eric brought it up earlier. Eric, your favorite movie is Blade Runner?
Yeah, yeah.
Tim, what's your favorite movie?
Okay. If I've got to pick one movie, the rocket's going to take off, and I can grab one movie. It's not a nerd movie. Sorry.
Doesn't matter.
I knew that.
It's probably going to be I Know Where I'm Going, which is a movie directed by Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger in 1943.
Huh. Yeah. I haven't heard of that one.
Well, all right. So mine, it'll have to be, and I don't know why, and it's just stuck with me all these years, and it's a very hard movie to watch. It's an animated movie, Fantastic Planet. And it's just
love it.
It's just bizarre, and I don't know why, but it sticks with me every time. I just think of the little guy running with the collar thing, and I just, yeah, weird. It just sticks with me, so that I would have to consider that a favorite, because it's fun to watch, too.
All right, man. That's super random, buddy.
Originally made in French, so French. You have to, and then, if you can watch the dubbed one.
And his favorite movie is from 46. this is a
something
wide
like that.
Range. Wide variety.
All right, so, yep, that's it for the podcast. Once again, thanks for listening and all that fun stuff. Make yourself look good. Get yourself a Nerd Up Podcast t-shirt. And
best swag in the business. That logo is legit. It's on the back of my phone. See? Look.
It's right there. Still, he's got right there. Nerd Up on his phone. So
yeah. Nice. Wow.
Yeah, so that's how important
it's the
it is.
Sticker, man.
And you can make yourself look good. And also there's all sorts of links you can try out. You can go to Loot Crate. It's like a Comic-Con in a box once a month. Geek Fuel, same thing. All sorts of ways. Support the podcast if you could. You could also just donate, but I'd rather you get something out of it.
Go to Eagle Theater.
That's exactly next.
Get some popcorn. Sorry, man.
Yeah, we talked about that last time. Brett, I got him sold on Eagle Theater. He's got to come up there now. But yeah, they make it possible for me and Isaac to go see some movies and some nice, comfortable movies in the layout there. The Robinson Eagle. They've also got one in Clinton, Illinois, and they also have one in Streeter, Illinois. But the Robinson's one where we hang out for movies.
Dude, I might come up there Friday.
All right, we'll go see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
all right, I'll see it. So anyway, make yourself look good. In the meantime, I'm Gil T. Wilson. You can contact me on Twitter at Gil Wilson.
I'm Eric Billingsley. You can reach me on Twitter at Eric Bill, ERICBILL.
I'm Tim Coker, and let's be real, I'm not on Twitter.
He just pretends to be.
But what about Oak Bark? I like that.
Oh, that's true. I am on Instagram, actually. I you know, like Tim Madsen, I took a break from Facebook after, starting in November, and I just couldn't take it either. It was getting too crazy. And I've been really hiding out in social media Switzerland, which is Instagram, where I just post pictures of my dogs. I got an account called Oak Bark. I got two dogs. There's Lenny. He's an 11-year-old Sharpei with three legs. And Hazel, who is a 9-month-old half Sharpay, half English bulldog. She's all black and all sass.
Tons of sass for that ass.
Yeah, no kidding, man. You get, oh, holy Lord. But yeah, you know, as she gets older, she'll hopefully calm down.
We'll see.
I don't have kids for a reason.
And, of course, Brett.
Brett Hartman, Crossover Sports Podcast. Brett underscore Hartman on Twitter. Brett Hartman on Facebook. See you, nerds. Hey, I'm just here for the dick jokes. I've been trying to get those two things in the whole time. Nothing. Just going to ask these guys about freaking Deadwood, whatever it was. It's all good. Anyways, dick jokes.
That's what. Okay.
Peace, nerds.
All right. So, like we say at the end of every single episode, stay nerdy.
Nerdy.
Stay nerdy.